Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
1 Peter 1:17 says, "And if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ." Today we are looking at the importance of living before God our Father in holiness and righteousness, because one day we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So join in the conversation as we discuss the purpose of the Bema. Today, we are going to talk about the Bema seat, which is the judgment seat of Christ, and the accountability of the principles of sowing and reaping.
That's right. We want to see the benefit package that has been provided because of the resurrection. But we want to see that the Lord is, in His faithfulness and tenderness, still has said, "I've got a path that you must walk to be looking forward to meeting me and not fearing meeting me."
Right, because I think there's a lot of very devoted Christians who are possibly fearful of that last days, those end times.
Yes, and if they don't even understand about the Bema will be occurring shortly after the rapture in heaven while the tribulation is going on here on earth. There may be some different theological views there, and we're not here to question or argue those points.
Dispute, right.
That's okay. Right. It says that this is the way that we understand it from the scriptures, and it's going to be a neat time. But boy, Sharon, I don't want to be sloppy in my preparation.
Right, because understanding what is going to take place at the Bema or the judgment seat of Christ really helps us to understand the sowing and reaping that we're doing here and what is going to occur there, how we prepare for that today.
Well, and I think maybe we can kind of give a purpose. You know, if somebody explains to me, "Now, I need you to do this, and it's difficult, but here is your purpose, here is your goal, here are the objectives," then I can kind of tear into it a little bit more because I have an understanding rather than just taking the next step unknown. Although sometimes the Lord does tell us to take the next step unknown.
Right.
But He does have one purpose in view for all of His ways as He deals with us, and that's to conform us to the image of His Son. Now, this may explain why we have some perplexities in our past, and it is to govern our behavior for the present, and it will be our guide for the future if we know that we are being conformed to His Son. And Galatians 4:19, Paul states that he travailed like a woman in labor until Christ was formed in those people. So the chief concern of our Lord is not to instruct us with a multitude of details, and not to explain to us the reasons for our trials, which we're called to pass through. That's why we walk by faith.
Yeah, exactly.
But He is working out everything to serve His supreme purpose in displaying the character of His Son in our lives.
Right. I think Christianity has gotten a different definition because we don't really view Christianity as being a Christ-like character. We view it as good moral ethics and a
security blanket.
As a security blanket, churchgoers, so to speak. So I think there's a total definition distortion in that.
Well, there are certain subjects that are not taught in many pulpits. And, you know, Sharon, I hear the different views, the different aspects, bringing it into a whole and advising people about the judgment seat of Christ, about don't take the detour path and how it will lead and how the culture is warping when we come together and in our church, and how socializing has replaced fellowshipping. And so I think today what we need to do is just up our awareness of what Jesus Christ said is going to happen. And since He's going to be the judge, He's pretty well got it on His docket of what he's going to do. So why don't you start us off with some of his words as to what's going to happen?
Well, I have 2 Corinthians 5, 10 through 11. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad.
Okay, now the first thing we need to give everybody an Alka-Seltzer relief to is that this is not sin called into account, because Jesus Christ took care of that at the cross. He paid for the sins. He wiped it white as snow. And so that's not the issue at the judgment seat of Christ. But we are going to be given account for our fleshly deeds done really in our service for him. And he will examine how we looked at the cross, and were we willing to die daily? Were we willing to put our own personality and ego and agenda and desires at the cross and say, not my will, but yours? And Sharon, the one thing that a discerning heart with some wisdom can conclude without any judgmentalism, all right, is the fact that the person's mindset is still earthly. They've not realized that they are eternal.
Carnal Christians.
Yes, or casual Christians or whatever. And we don't want to just rap and rap on them, but we have to realize that if the enemy can't have us for eternity in hell, then his next emphasis is to ruin our reputation and representation of the character and the person of Jesus Christ.
Well, he roams about to seek who he may devour.
Yeah, yeah. And if we are not alert or if we're weary, then we're subject to that. And, you know, we've got a good illustration today just in a life of Elijah that we'll hit upon here in a few moments. But I think you also had brought out Romans 14, 10, and 12. Have you got your finger in that one?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
It says, every knee shall bow to me, Jesus Christ, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God.
Yeah. Now, Sharon, I'm going to ask you some hypothetical questions.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Putting me on the spot, are you, Janie?
Well, I'm right there with you, okay? So let's just say we're two ladies getting ready to ascend the stairway to the throne to be held accountable.
Okay.
Can you imagine to look in the face of the Lord Jesus and have him ask you, why did you please self and seek your own will and your own agenda when I gave you my word, my life, my love, so that you would live to glorify me?
Well, I would probably say I just was ignorant, Lord, and I thought I knew what I was doing.
Well, do you know what? Do you know that Paul also said that the reason that he wasn't thrown to the wolves was because he did things in his ignorant stupidity? So that was a good answer, Sharon. That's a good answer. Now let's see if you can answer the next one just as well. All right. Maybe I need to answer this one. Then he's going to say, when I told you to do good to your enemies, you murmured and complained that you had to put up with such scrappy people that caused so much trouble.
Ouch.
Yes. Ouch, ouch. And yet they're the very ones that we're called to teach with a gentle spirit and with a whole heart, that they may be pulled out of the wiles of the enemy. And we both know what it is to get caught in the wiles of enemy. And
yes,
we know it's the grace of God that has gotten us out.
And every time,
and pull those arrows out. And then may he ask us, when I asked you to stand against the enemy and keep short accounts of your heart, why did you run away like Jonah ran? You know, he's saying, I'm calling you to engage in some spiritual warfare for overcoming and bringing life to souls, perhaps in your immediate family.
Well, I can say that I have been a Jonah in my past. I can remember saying, Lord, you got the wrong girl.
Yeah. And the whale looked better than Nineveh.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So we do know that we don't want to stand before him and say, no, I wanted the way of Jonah.
Right.
You know, and Jonah was never happy, even when the Lord gave him a little shade and then it dried up. You know, he just... murmured and complained. And do you know, we never hear from Jonah again after that incident in the whole Bible. Yeah. He showed himself, showed the nastiness of self-agenda and running in the opposite direction. But, you know, I understand Jonah's dilemma. And in Matthew 11:28, there is a verse that would have helped Jonah if he could have really kept his mind focused on his God. Would you want to read that?
I sure will. It says, "Come unto me, all you who are labored and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, I think that went on to 29.
Okay, good. Well, I tell you what, for his yoke to be easy and his burden to be light simply has to mean that we have yielded, we've reckoned with it, we've yielded to him. And so he is actually carrying the burden for us, and we are yoked to him, and he is the strength that's pulling the plow, so to speak. And I have found that to be true. It doesn't eliminate the tough circumstances, but when you know that he is guiding and you're in his word, he just simply renews you.
Yes.
And that's why his yoke and his burden is easy, and ours will drag us down to where we can't go forward.
And we'll look up one day and it's like, oh, wow, I can't believe you've accomplished so much, or you actually got through that trial, or, you know, and your heart has peace and,
yes,
and all of those things. That just means that we've relied upon him to be the strength through all of that.
He's carried us. It's like that little poem, there's only one set of footprints in the sand.
Right.
Well, there's another verse that kind of has some different focus, and that's 2 Timothy 1:18. Now, I don't know how many fingers you've got in your Bible, but if you can find that one, let's read that one.
"The Lord grant him that he may find mercy from the Lord in the day, and you know very well how many ways he ministered to me."
That's right. Paul is talking, and I have to say his name slowly, Onesiphorus, and I think I'm pretty close on that. And Onesiphorus had really helped Paul and was a friend of Paul and was in wonderful service. But it says that the Lord grant him that he may find mercy in that day. And when it refers to that day, it's talking about the judgment seat of Christ. So if he is saying, let's have him be sure that he is granted mercy, then Sharon, does that not convey just in English grammar that there's a possibility of a negative judgment if he's needing mercy at the Bema or at the Bema? Why would mercy be needed beyond that which was given at salvation if there wasn't a possibility of there being some trauma at the judgment seat of Christ, even for somebody who is serving righteously? So that passage to me says it's a narrow path.
Yeah, and the Lord's mercy goes beyond this earth, and that's a comfort to know that we will also find mercy. He's not just merciful for a short period of time while we are living and breathing here, but his mercy endures forever.
And you know, we get to have the beauty and the rest of every time we have the privilege of being in his presence, of simply looking at his hands, and we'll see the nail spikes that went through the wrist, and that'll say mercy, that will say grace, and that will be with us forever in his resurrected body. Now, I'd like to jump over to the Old Testament just to show you how that mercy is showed forth in the life of Elijah. Elijah was called to a really difficult task. He was called to take sacrifice and wet it down so that it was impossible for it to burn. And then the false priest had theirs and it wouldn't burn. And then Elijah wetted his down and everything and called upon the name of the Lord, and the fire came down and just wiped it out. Okay, pretty supernatural,
yeah,
neat thing.
Exactly.
Okay, then the next thing we find him doing is he is confronting false prophets and killing 450 of them. Now, that's supernatural.
Right.
One man.
One man.
Yes, right. For one man. Okay, So now that's got to have taken a lot of emotional, mental, physical energy out of him, even though God Almighty was giving him and working through him. But we always have to realize how vulnerable we can be after great, mighty works done in the power of God. A little old nasty lady by the name of Jezebel heard from her husband Ahab what he had done, and she sends a message out to Elijah. I'll make sure the same thing is done to you that you did to these prophets before night falls tomorrow night. Well, you'd think that Elijah would have blown it off, wouldn't you?
Big deal. You can do something to me? Look what just happened. Look what the Lord just did.
That's right. But weariness can make us vulnerable. And so what did Elijah do? He turned and he ran, and he ran a day, and he ran into the wilderness, exhausted. Now, I would have thought, okay, the Lord should have been at his heels saying, look, man, turn around and go face, you know, I've overcome. But the gentleness and the mercy of the Lord and the long suffering let him find a broom tree, which, by the way, Sharon, is a juniper tree from the cypress family. And the aromatic fragrance of a juniper tree gives off a smell that constitutes peace and quietness within our nervous system. That's science of the constituents that are in the juniper tree.
And that just happens to be the tree he found.
That he found. And in where the juniper tree grows freely, animals will go get under the juniper tree at night to rest. It's calming. Just a neat little of the mercy of God. And so he lets Elijah sleep. And then when Elijah wakes, there's food and water. But instead of now having our conversation, the Lord puts him back to sleep and lets him sleep some more, and then wakes him up and says, now you are going to be filled by this food to where you can go for another 40 days. Now, 40 days usually in the scripture has to do with trials, testings, and things like that.
Okay.
So now I'm going to move forward to the next scene, and we've got Elijah in the cave doing nothing. And the Lord speaks to him and says, Elijah, why are you in the cave? Oh, because I'm all alone and nobody's around. And the Lord says, Elijah, get out of that cave. And he's still complaining. I just wish we could die. Things are too rough. I'm all alone. And it's like the Lord in his long suffering says, I got 7,000 men over here that have not bowed their knees to Baal. Now, let's get with it, son.
Yeah.
And he goes on to a life of more defeats and victories. But the point here, Sharon, is God's mercy, even as we are learning to die to self, learning what it is to seek the eternal and just not the temporal, the Lord's mercy, whether it was in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, where in James 5, I think it's 17, it says Elijah was a like man like you.
Yeah.
And he battled the same things you do. And I thought, what comfort that the Lord would take Elijah out of the Old Testament and just bring him in right at the right point where we needed to see how grace and mercy is with us all the days of our life, and the long suffering that the Lord goes through to get us to be conformed to his image. Yeah. I just thought that was a neat little story.
I love that because it shows us that the stories of the Old Testament, the people of the Old Testament, that we can look at their lives and be encouraged by what God did with them. You know, if we look at Hebrews 11, you know, it talks about the people of faith, that if we really looked in detail at their lives, we could see all their failures.
Yes.
And see the places that they made mistakes. But God was so merciful and he was so gracious in their walk as they learned and grew in him.
And the flesh patterns that he put up with. But you know what? Even in Abraham's life and Moses' life, the day came when the Lord said, enough's enough.
Yeah.
And if they continued on, then they suffered some consequences.
Mm-hmm.
That one verse that really throws me is, I think it's in Psalms 106, where it says the people sinned and it angered Moses so that it went ill with Moses. I'm thinking, wait a minute, Lord, the people are the ones that messed it up. But because Moses knew better.
Mm.
You know, and he did not reply with the way the Lord wanted him to reply. You know, he struck the rock and he should have spoke to it. And it cost him going into the promised land. He got to see it, but he didn't get to go in.
And, you know, we really need to take that into consideration in our Christian walk, because really there are going to be consequences for those, as gracious and loving and merciful as the Lord is. We are going to suffer consequences for decisions and things that we do.
Well, and this kind of all started us with, when we started on this, it was with grief and loss.
Yeah.
And we will suffer loss at the Bema. I don't know how the Lord's going to manifest it, but I'm just hoping that my fire, which may be pretty big at the beginning, hopefully you'll be down to like a smoldering log by the time that I move on to see him.
I know there's probably a lot of things that we've done in ignorance.
Yes.
That as we learn and grow, that the Lord will still be gracious and merciful.
And we'll put them aside.
Yes.
Well, now, do we have time for just one more verse today on the consequences? That would be like Matthew 12, 36 and 37.
Yes.
Well, in here it says, "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment."
Ow.
So by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now again, that's not salvation.
Mm-hmm.
That's the loss of rewards or finding well done, good and faithful servant.
Yeah.
The tongue does more damage. But the tongue is wagged by what's in the mind.
Yeah.
So now we're back to renewing our mind, aren't we, Sharon?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, the tongue, we could probably talk for a month on the tongue and not cover everything that we need to cover. But that is one that we really need to take to heart, in realizing that every idle word that we say in secret and in public, you
mm-hmm.
know, those are idle words, not things that we even proclaim from our soapbox, but things that we say idly in just casual conversation.
And sometimes in sarcasm, that can be very damaging. And sometimes in jesting, foolish jesting, when our words really should be more nay, nay and yay, yay.
Yeah.
So those are good exhortations for us today. Do we have 60 seconds for just another warning?
Okay.
All right. Well, I tell you what, in Hebrews 10, 26 and 27, now Sharon, this is a scary verse for me. This is a scary verse. It warns us of the danger of willfully turning away from Christ, who saved and sanctifies us. And the verse says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God." And this isn't being written to unbelievers. This is being written to the Christians, in the Hebrew Christians.
That's scary.
To fall into the hands of a living God.
That's,
all right.
Yeah.
We talk about his love and his grace and mercy, but here's the other side of the balance sheet. And then Colossians 3, 24 and 25 just says, "Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, yet so as by fire."
And, you know, we talk about falling into the hands of the living God and our idle words and, you know, our wrongs being repaid. So Those are all very scary things.
Consequences.
Consequences when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ.
Yes, yes.
So the Lord reminds us today to gird up the loins of our mind, to be sober and rest our hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children, holy in conduct, because our Father God is holy. But that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHearts.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hearts, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.